All right, Genesis chapter 28. You know, truly blessed is that man, that woman, that has been given from heaven the key, the understanding that unlocks the treasure that's found in the Holy Scriptures. That being the Lord Jesus himself. All the scriptures speak of him. He told the Pharisees, you search the scriptures, and in them you think you have life because they know the scriptures. They quote the scriptures. They were good at knowing. But he said, they are they that testify of me. These words, they set forth the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in the passage that we've been dealing with, Jacob has received the blessing of his father, Isaac. But now he must leave Beersheba because his brother Esau, who never wanted the birthright, therefore the blessing, because Jacob has received it. Consider this last time. Esau now purposes to slay his brother Jacob at the opportune time, which according to Esau is going to be after the mourning of his dad. But as I told you, his dad lived for about 40 more years. But even as we behold the situation of this blessing, if we see it unfold, and we hear the threat of Esau, that is truly the second cause of Jacob leaving. The first cause of Jacob leaving is not Esau's threats. The first cause is the will of God. The first cause is according to him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. So here we behold that Jacob is going to be leaving Beersheba, and he's going to go to Haran. He's going to go to the brother of Rebekah, his mother, and he's going there to find a wife. He's not to marry a wife from the daughters of the Canaanites. So knowing that this what has happened, now we want to look at two verses, 10 and 11, and it says in verse 10, and Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. Now, this child of promise, this young man that has been made willing to bow to the leadership and direction of the Lord of glory, Jacob, in obedience to the leadership of God's Spirit, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. This is the one who is being directed by the great shepherd of the sheep. The Lord has a sheep. And so here Jacob's steps are being directed. He's told by his mother, yes. His daddy has blessed him and told him, you go, now you go and you don't take a wife. But the thing is, Jacob is walking in the light that he's been given. And though no mention is made, I'm not trying to add anything to the scriptures, but knowing that he's left, now he just left, and I can only imagine that he's reflecting. He's having to leave home. He's reflecting upon the events that had recently come to pass, and he's thinking back on coming before his dad, robed in the garment of Esau, and having his neck covered, his hands covered with the skins of the kids of the goats, and remembering his daddy asking him. He said, "Are you truly Esau?" He said, yes, he was. Now he's leaving because he's heard the threat of his brother, but again, he's walking in the light that's been given him from the Lord. He's hated of his brother, but this is but a prior revelation of what our Lord promised in John 16:33. This has been true from the beginning. The Lord said this when he was here on this earth. He said, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And then the Lord said in Matthew 10, verse 21 and 22, he said, brother shall deliver up brother to death, and the father the child, and children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death, and ye shall be hated of all men. And here's what it is, all of that, brother against brother, child against parent, parent against child. And he said, all of this is because it's for my sake. For God's people, for their love for the Lord, for the God that we serve, sovereign God, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Well, having surely mulled these things over and over and over, it says in verse 11, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night. Now look, why? Because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. Now, Jacob he's come to a place. He's arrived in a place. And the scripture says when he arrived in that certain place, he lighted upon a certain place and tarried. He stayed right there all night because the sun went down. Now, he's providentially, what has happened is the uncreated light himself, the uncreated light, has so directed that the created light, the sun itself, that Jacob was going to be in this certain place at this certain time, and it was going to start getting dark. That's what's happening. The Lord would not allow Jacob to go any farther than he did. He came to a certain place, a certain ordained, directed place. Christ is the light of his people. By him we behold who God is and who they are. The Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to stop here and just look at the significance. If we just read that 11th verse, he lighted upon a certain place. There's something about this place. God's going to speak to him. Lord willing, we'll look at it. Next time we look at this, this is where he's going to go to sleep. He's going to dream. He's going to see this ladder. It reaches to heaven all the way to the earth, and he sees the angels up and down. But God has stopped him at this certain place, and the sun has gone down. But the significance of him having to stop physically, the significance of that physically speaking, it's getting dark. He's out there if you've ever been out somewhere where you, in the night, and there's no street lights, and if it's dark, if there's no stars out and the moon's not out, it's just dark, and he's at a place where he's going to have to stop. And having to stop has great significance. He's going to have to tarry there to walk. Without the light is dangerous. just humanly speaking. But to walk without the light of the Lord's glorious direction, according to the scriptures, hearing of the gospel being preached, is spiritually dangerous. To walk in darkness is to walk in presumption. He lighted on a certain place and tarried there. He stopped there. He's going to rest there. Why? Because the sun's going down. It's going to get dark. I want you to just hold your place there concerning the Lord, the light himself. Turn with me to John 8:12. Just, I want to look at a few scriptures here concerning the significance. John 8:12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. He that followeth me as the Savior of sinners, the light of the world, the King, the prophet, the priest, God's Savior, God's Lamb, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, in spiritual darkness, but shall have the light of life. Look at John 11:10. John 11:10. If a man walk in the night, he stumbleth because there's no light in him. Jacob going to have to stop. You said, yeah, it got dark, but there's a spiritual significance here. When we don't have the light of God's direction, we stop. Look at Isaiah 2:5. Look at the instruction of the Spirit of God. Isaiah 2:5. We read in the scriptures all the time, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Isaiah 2:5. O house of Jacob, come ye and let us walk in the light of the Lord. You know what we're doing here tonight? We're walking in the light that we have. We're assembling ourselves together and we're hearing the scriptures proclaimed. What the Lord has ordained. He said, I'll send you pastors. They'll give you understanding. The responsibility of a pastor, get into this book. Find out what God has to say and comfort the people of God. Comfort you, my people, saith the Lord. Set forth the Lord Jesus Christ. This is him. So back in Genesis chapter 28, here's what Jacob is doing. And this is what we do spiritually when we have no light on something. Well, what do you think we ought to do? If we don't know, if we can't find it in scriptures, what do we do? We wait, we pray, we ask the Lord providentially. I told you what I used to tell my kids be growing up. I said, until you know the right thing to do, don't do anything. Because I can guarantee you, if you don't know what to do, you'll probably do the wrong thing. So just wait. Just wait and see. So here, he who is the light, he stopped Jacob. And what happened when Jacob stopped? He tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. He took of the stones. He took, and actually the word right there where he took of the stones, there's a word in there and it means to build. He took of the stones and he built. He took of the stones of that place and put them for a pillow to lay down on. And you know, what a wealth of divine revelation is given right here. If the Spirit of God give us some light to show us something right here, the natural mind would naturally to consider. I just got to thinking about this. You know, you're going to lay down. You're going to be on the ground. And so you got hard ground to lay on. And for a pillow, he's going to take some stones. And that's what he's going to lay down. And it's dark. It's dark. Ground's hard. He's got pillows to lay on. Now, you know, humanly speaking, that's probably the most dangerous and uncomfortable situation that you could possibly be in. But the sun has set. The Lord has stopped him. Jacob has no liberty to go. He has no guidance to go. So he's gonna stop, and God's going to allow him to consider who brought him there. How did he get here? Providence. God's providence. His steps have been ordered to this place. And he's heard and he's remembered, and I'm sure he can rehearse the blessing of his father, what God promised him. The Lord promised him, I'm going to give you this land. You're going to have the blessing of Abraham. God's love and affection is upon you. The Lord who everlastingly loved you and chose you in Christ. The Lord who graciously entered into eternal covenant with himself, Father and Son and Spirit, to save this supplanter, this huckster. Now, he's led him to this place. A place, again, that's probably not very becoming to look at, whatever you could see. And here's Jacob taking the stones of that place, and he put them, he set them in a place for his pillows. Now, let me tell you where my mind went. As soon as I heard him, that he took those pillows and he set them in one of the words in that set them there, it means to build. He built. He took some stones and he built him a pillow. I don't know how big the stones were. I don't know. I don't know. But he took some stones and he built them. I want you to hold your place right here and turn to Exodus 20. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus 20. Verse 24, 26. Exodus 20, 24. An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings, thy peace offerings, thy sheep, thine oxen. In all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. And if thou make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone. For if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. So what has happened here? Here is Jacob, and he's in a dark place. He's in a certain place, place of God's choosing. And he's taken some stones, and he's built them. That's the word. He built a place. And what the significance is, what I saw in that, is that here is Jacob in the dark, place where God put him, and he's going to rest upon the altar. He's going to rest upon the worship of God. That's where he's going to find his rest, upon the altar of sacrifice of God's lamb. Now, let me ask you this. Is that not spiritually where we find our rest? Now, he's on what the world would consider something hard, what the flesh would consider hard and uncomfortable. And is that not the attitude of Christ, our altar? When he laid down his life, he laid down for the sheep. Does the world not consider that to be uncomfortable? Did they not resist that? Would they not say, I'd not choose that. I wouldn't choose that stone. That's the rest of God's people, though. These stones were of, and here again, back in Genesis, just looking at the words. He took of the stones of that place, of that place. Well, you think, well, yeah, okay. Where else would they be? But look at the significance of it. Jacob didn't bring them. Jacob didn't provide them. Jacob was there, the recipient of God's provision. Jacob did not do anything. The stones were there. They were of that place. But these stones were a picture and type of him who is the rock. The rock, the stone that was disallowed, rejected of men, but the same that's made the head of the corner. I want you to hold your place there and turn with me to Deuteronomy 31. Deuteronomy 31. They've just crossed the Red Sea. There's going to be a psalm. Well, let me say this. There's going to be a song. It may have been recorded here. My apologies. But I want you to just look. Here's Moses' psalm. It says in Deuteronomy 31:30, "And Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were ended." Now this, in chapter 32, this is the song. I want to just look at a few verses in that song. 32 verse 4, "He is the rock. His work is perfect, and all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he." Look at verse 15. "But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation." Look at verse 18. "Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee." Look at verse 30 and 31. "How should one chase 1,000 and put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them, and the Lord had shut them up? For their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judgment." So consider the glory of him who is the rock. And in type and picture, look at Exodus 17 concerning this rock. This is where Jacob found his rest. What is he going to rest on? He's going to rest on the stones that were built up. It's the stones that pictured his Lord and his master. Exodus 17, verses 1 through 6. "All the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, 'Give us water that we may drink.' And Moses said to them, 'Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord?' And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, 'Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?' And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, 'What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me.' And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river. Take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it that the people may drink.' And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel." That rock that was smitten, the act of God's mercy was so glorious that the Holy Spirit turned to 1 Corinthians 10. It was so glorious that the Holy Spirit moved the Apostle Paul to write concerning that event right there, what actually happened. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 to 4. "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink. They drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So whenever that rock was smitten, you can say that's a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ being smitten. The Spirit of God said that that's what it was. So here's Jacob. And like I said, I realize that the carnal heart would find no comfort, no ability to rest on such a pillow. I mean, I'll be honest with you. If I can't get my pillow right, I'll gripe. You know, I just couldn't get it. I just couldn't get it right. He's sleeping on a pillow. He's placed there by the grace of God, and God has caused him to want to just lay down. That's what, back in Genesis, back to verse 11, he took the stones of that place, put them for his pillow, and lay down in that place to sleep. He didn't toss and turn all night. Wait, he slept. Oh, to the vessels of God's mercy, there is no pillow of rest, no joy found anywhere else than in the comfort, and the safety, the peace, which is found in him who is the precious stone. Turn with me to Isaiah 28, verse 14, 16. Isaiah 28, verse 14. Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem, because ye have said, we've made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we've made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Again, the Spirit of God was pleased to tell us exactly what that word haste means. Turn to 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And verse 6, 1 Peter 2, 6. 1 Peter 2, 6, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. He shall not be dishonored. He shall not be made ashamed. He shall not be disgraced. He shall be saved from his sin. The Lord set forth, he said, I'm laying in Zion. He said, a tried stone, one tested and approved. Tested before God and approved from heaven. This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. You hear him. A precious cornerstone. That is a rare, splendid, weighty, prized, costly, highly valued. A sure foundation established. Appointed, ordained. Oh, Almighty God, thank you for giving us of the stone himself, wherein we can rest. I'm going to wrap this up. I want you to turn with me to Matthew 11. Matthew 11. And I want you to just hold your place right there. And while you're holding your place, I want to read you talking about the rest that God's people have. I woke up this morning thinking on this message, and this is the passage that kept coming to my mind, Psalm 23. I was thinking of preaching this, and Psalm 23 kept coming to my mind, so I'm going to read it. The Lord, here's Jacob now. He's out there, directed. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I'm not going to want for anything. I'm not going to lack anything. What do you got out there? I got the stone. I got these stones to lay down on. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I thought you was out there on the dirt. Green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Here again, I got to reading that this morning. I thought about Jacob out there. You know, he's out there in the dark. I don't know what's out there. He didn't know what was out there either, I'm sure. It's dark. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord, in Matthew 11:28, last verse for tonight. Believer, you that are like Jacob, just going through a trial, you're going through a trial, or you're getting ready to go through a trial. Hear the word, the tried and precious and sure foundation of our hope. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me. Don't come to the church. Don't come to the front. Don't come to the elders. Don't come to the doctrine of grace. Don't come to your confession of faith. Don't come to baptism. Don't come to the Lord's Supper. Don't come to the law. Don't come to the supposed time or date that you believed. Come unto me. How? The only way that anyone has ever been received. Come as a helpless sinner who sees nothing in himself but sin. Come in your heart, casting yourself upon him afresh. The scripture says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Come to him who is the willing and able Savior of sinners, and venture your soul upon him and trust him only for your righteousness and life and salvation. And who is to come? All ye that labor and are heavy laden, you that are laboring and heavy laden with the burden of the body of death that you see within yourselves, you that groan to be free from the very presence of sin, but how to perform that which you would do, get rid of it, you find not. You would want to be free from that which you hate within yourselves, and you're weighted down with those that would try to put you under the obedience of the law for righteousness, and you're loaded down with the traditions of men in order to find peace and conscience for your soul. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and here's Jacob, he just laid down, and I will give you rest. I'll give you rest. Rest, spiritual rest, is the need of every weary sinner. When I think, and oh, how often I think, of my waywardness, my lack of commitment, what I see in me, how I need peace in my conscience, things that I have failed to do, to remember Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. That burden, though, that I have, and you that know him that you have, you want some peace, you want some comfort, you want to be able to lay down and rest. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you saved my soul. Thank you for making me whole. Thank you for giving me thy great salvation. so rich and free. I pray God bless this to our hearts.